Well, hello and welcome again. This is Pastor William Coleman of the Crossroad Baptist Church. Thank you so much for joining us online. And we're excited about the Word of God, things that we can share with you to encourage you in your faith and to help you in your walk with the Lord. Got a special message we've been preaching from the series on the fire of God. Today we're going to be talking about the choices that we make in the fire. But before we get into the message, let's bow in prayer. I want to pray specifically for you and the trials and maybe struggles that you're facing. Let me pray with you and let me pray for you. Father God, we're so grateful for your presence. We thank you for the awesome things that you're doing in our lives. And as always, you deserve our worship and our praise. And we're going to give it to you because there's no one else that we can turn to in our time of need except you. And you are the only true God. Bless us now and bless our time together. Bless those that are tuning in. Bless those that are online. I pray that you would reach out your mighty hand and extend that mercy and grace into their lives. Heal those that need healing. Deliver those that need deliverance. Settle those that are anxious in their spirits. And most of all, give them thy presence that they may know you as the true living God and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. Bless us now in our time together. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's get into the Word. We want to invite you to 1 Kings. That's in the Old Testament book of 1 Kings, chapter 18 and verses 21 through 24. Here's what it says. And to give you the context, this is Elijah the prophet. He is now bringing a message to the people of northern Israel. The tribes have split into two groups. You have the northern tribes, and then you have Judah in the south. Hear what he says to those northern tribes, and as they were struggling with identifying with the living God or with the idols that they've come accustomed to. Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." But the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, "I alone am left of the prophets of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two oxen, and let them choose one ox for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, but place no fire under it. And I will prepare the other ox and lay it on the wood, and will not put fire under it. And you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." So what are the choices that we make in the fire? And I label this as mainly the choices that we make. What are the choices that we make, and how does God demonstrate himself so that we can choose the right way, choose the presence of God, choose the awesome goodness of God rather than believing in all of these idols? You know, the other day, I was watching TV with my wife, and since we are kind of in closed in, she is, and I to a certain extent, we were watching the Home Shopping Network. And as we were watching that, they put on a product that they had. It was a candle. And this candle looked so real. Its color was like a real candle. As a matter of fact, when you blew it out, it would lower itself as if a candle or light was going out. And it looked like the real thing, except for one thing. It was battery operated. It was a fake. It wasn't really the genuine thing, as we would suppose. And so I find that also in the Christian faith, there are many that claim that they've got a fiery testimony, but you can't see it demonstrated in their walk. These people appear to be genuine, but upon investigation in their lives, we find that the fire is not real. What troubles me is that many, I would say, have gotten into the good act of pretending. They're good at pretending to be a child of God rather than to be one that without an effort of our own, we demonstrate God's glory in our walk, in our conversation, and in our relationships. See, if the fire is in you, it's going to be real. If God's fire is in your life, if it's operating in you and me, we're going to be genuine. We're going to be genuine. So we find that as we look at this world at which we're living in, there are people who are pretending. There are people who are saying that they're a child of God, but really deep down on the inside, they don't really know him. And the reason why I'm bringing this out, ladies and gentlemen, is because the Lord is coming back real soon. We see all of these things happening across our world, and it points to the fact that this world needs God. The problems cannot be solved by man. We need the living God to come back into this world and to redeem us, in which he will. But we must prepare ourselves. We must demonstrate that Christ is alive in us. Notice I'm not saying that we have to make the fire. God will stir the fire in us if we would simply yield to his glory. I was researching something from the Pew Research Center, and I was looking at the publication that they had on religion and public life in America. Here's what the Pew Research survey showed. 35,000 Americans participated in the survey and responded to it, and it reported that 70% of all the respondents said they're Christians. They're children of God. They believe in God. Now, granted, that's going to be split between denominations, and you have your different movements. You have the evangelicals making up 25%, Catholics making up 21%, mainstream Protestants making up 15%, and what we call historically black Protestants, about 6.5 or 7%. And the non-Christians, which would be your Buddhist and your Islam, they made up 6%. So when the question was posed of those 70% of people that said that they believed in God, when this question was put before them, do you believe in absolute right or wrong? Simple question. Do you believe that there's an absolute of right and wrong? Only 50% of those who said they were Christians said they believed an absolute right or wrong. The other 50% said, well, it depends on the circumstance. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I that have studied the Bible, it is our absolute definition of right and wrong. God says this is right. God says this is wrong. Now, to ease your mind, this is nothing new. It was going on in Elijah's day. He was faced with that same situation where there were people saying, well, is it wrong to worship Baal? Is it right to worship these other gods? And many were saying, it depends on the situation, just like we're saying today. You have a lot of people believing in idols, and one of those idols is humanism, or believing in the ability of man. And ladies and gentlemen, you and I know that the only true God, he is the only God. There is no other. As a matter of fact, he said, I will have no others before me. I am the Lord your God. I've made you. And so we see that in Elijah's day, they were faced with the same struggle. Is it true? Is it right for us to believe in God? And so what Elijah did, he said, now listen, we're going to settle this matter. We're going to look at this matter, and we're going to settle it once and for all. Let's have a contest. So all the people were gathered on Mount Carmel. And he said, now listen, it's as simple as this. The God who answers by fire, let him be God. If he can't answer by fire, then he must not be God. And the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said, okay, let me break it down to you. You set up your altar. I'll set up an altar to the Lord. You put an oxen on yours. I'll put an oxen on mine, but we won't put any fire up under. And the people said, good, that works for us. That works for us. That'll go. And so the decision was actually made based on the fact which one will move by fire and come upon that altar and receive that sacrifice. Now you and I, as Paul Harvey said, we know the rest of the story. Now here it was, Elijah, in about 870 BC, before Christ, in about 870, he had to stand in that day and say to the people, do you know which one is God? Do you know who the real God is? Today, I stand here at this church, and I'm asking the same question to those of you that are viewing online and to others who will pick it up later, do you know who the real God is? And it comes down to this. The one who answers by fire. It may not be that physical fire of Elijah's day on Mount Carmel, but it will definitely be a fire in your soul that you will know and you will recognize that he is the living God. We can't continue to halt ourselves between two opinions. We can't fall back on the fact that says, well, it depends on the situation. God said in his word, thou shalt not kill. He said, thou shalt not steal. And Jesus even expanded on it in the New Testament where he says, if you even think about it, then you're sinning. Ladies and gentlemen, there is an absolute. But we need the proof by fire. We need to really know the living God. And I believe that one of the things that God is going to do in these last days, he will reveal who he is, and he will reveal his will to us. As a matter of fact, he said, I will send the Holy Spirit into your life. I will send you a comforter, and he will teach you all things. He will teach you what is right. He will show you the path that you are to take. And those of us who have received Christ as Lord into our lives, those of us who believed on his name, it doesn't mean that we're perfect. It doesn't mean that we never make a mistake. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not saying that. What we are saying is this. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that Elijah was a man of like passions, just like you and I. In other words, he was human, but he knew that God was real. That's the point. That's the point. And he said, now, I know that God is so real that he'll reveal himself by fire. Now, the question that came to my mind, why in the world would God allow this man, a prophet from another community, to come up north and prophesy to the people and say, okay, I'm going to prove it by a demonstration. Now, what I found out, it was not so much Elijah doing it on his own volition. It was God moving him. It was God prompting him. It was God saying to Elijah, here's where I want you to go. This is what I want you to say. So as we see that prophet standing on Mount Carmel and proclaiming that the God who answers by fire, let him be God, that's the way that God is going to move us, his people, in this last and evil day. God's going to move us into position and then light up our lives. So in other words, you and I are really fire starters. It's not a thing of where we just sit on a hill and we just shine, or we just say, oh, isn't it nice that I'm a Christian? No, God is going to use us to light up someone else's life. And there are tons of opportunities. There are people in distress. There are people who are at their wits' end, not knowing which way to turn. You notice in the Bible it said they couldn't answer him. They couldn't answer because they were so confused. The world is so confused now that we need people with the true light of God. And you can't back off and say, well, it depends on the circumstance. No, God works in mysterious ways. Circumstance or no circumstance, God establishes his truth, and his truth prevails forever. So here's how we do it. Here's how we incorporate this fire. It doesn't have to be a Mount Carmel. Sometimes it might be a low valley. But you can say, the God who answers by fire, let him be God. So let's get this fire started. Let's see how it works in our lives. Let's see how the Lord will present himself through our life. Now, we're not Elijah, but we can go in that same spirit, in that same attitude, which says, I know the living God. And some of you right now, you can testify, I know him because I've seen him work in my life. I've received his grace and his mercy in my heart. I know who he is. And amen to that, brothers and sisters. Amen that you have Christ on the inside. Here's how we're going to do it. I want to break it down into three ways that we can manifest God's goodness and his mercy in our lives. First of all, we have to look at ourselves not just being our own ability, but what can God do with us? So first, I'm saying we need to look at the symbol of confidence. This fire represented a symbol of confidence. So Elijah said, now listen, The God who answers by fire, let him be God. People said, good, that's great. That sounds like a good plan. Whoever answers by fire, if it's Baal, then we're gonna worship him as God. But if it's a living God, we're going to worship the living God. And do you not know? Well, you do know how the story turns out. Baal couldn't answer because Baal was something that had been fabricated in the minds of people. It had been fabricated, and they had made all of these idols, and yet it could not move, it could not speak, it could not bless, it could not heal, it could not deliver. And here was God saying to his people, you need to know the truth, because the truth is the only thing that can set you free. So the Bible says that when Elijah stood there, the Lord did answer by fire. It was a symbol of confidence. The people were willing to admit, they were willing to say, if he answers by fire, then we're going to believe in him. But not only was it a symbol of confidence, it was a statement of control. God did not want the Israelites to continue to wander about from this way to that way, because then he would have to remove his presence and his power in their life. Why doesn't God allow us to worship idols? Because there are no gods, but they can separate you. Listen, they can separate you. They will separate you from the presence of God. If you give yourself to an idol, you've automatically said, I don't want God. And God is saying, listen, I am a jealous God. I don't want you to serve these other gods and try to serve me. So ladies and gentlemen, you got to make a choice. Is it going to be God, or is it the stuff that you've got in your life? Is it God, or is it money? Is it, are these other things, are they the gods in your life? You've got to make a choice. You've got to say, Lord, show me the fire. Show me the real you. Show me the presence of the living God. It's a statement of God's control. Here's what happened. The Bible says in verse 39 of that 18th chapter, 1 Kings, when the people saw the fire of God fall upon that altar, and it actually took all, licked up the water and everything that was on the altar, it consumed it. Our God is a consuming fire. And when the people saw that, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord Yahweh, he is God. The Lord Yahweh, he is God. Some of you have had the fire of God to fall upon you when you were sick, and your confession was, the Lord, he is God. Jesus, he is God. He's the one that has saved us. He's the one that's delivered us. Some of you have been in your trial and your tribulation, and God saw you through. He brought you through that. And now you're saying, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. It's not only a symbol of confidence, but it's a statement of God's control. Whenever you say that, whenever you say the word Lord, you're saying Adonai, as they would say in the Greek. You're saying Adonai, or my Lord, the one who controls my life. There are a lot of people that want him to be God to get blessed, but they don't want him to be Lord so that they can follow him. The condition that Elijah had made with the Israelites is this. If Baal is Baal, you follow him. But if the Lord, if God Almighty is the Lord, if he's God, then you not only believe in him, don't say you just trust in him, but you follow him. When God lights that fire up in your life, it's to remind you that he didn't just come to bless you. He came to guide you in the path of life. Now, you say, well, isn't that selfish of God? No, you don't know your way through this world. You don't know your way through the circumstances of life. Secondly, you don't know the destination and how to get there. Our destination is heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but not everyone is following Christ. It's that simple. But if you follow him, then we will know. We will know that he is our eternal God. We will know that he never fails us. We will know that we can put our full confidence and our trust in him, and we can say, Lord, lead the way. You can be a fire starter. You can take it, because when that light is in your life, then you become that symbol of confidence, one that really knows God. You're also saying, God has control of my life. So you're making a statement of God's control. But then lastly, what you're going to be doing is representing a sign of change. There's no one, absolutely no one, who's ever met God and remained the same. You cannot remain as you were. You have to be changed. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. It's not just the confidence you have. It's not that the control that God has over your life and the sovereignty, but now you're saying, my life, because of the fire of God, it is a sign that God has changed me. Let me give you an example as I close this message of what happened to three Hebrews when they were put in the fire and they had to make the choice. Are you going to make a choice for God, or are you going to burn in the fiery furnace? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had to make that choice, and they decided that they were going to trust in God. You know what they said? Our God is able. Able to do what? He's able to deliver us, but if not, let it be known to you, we will not bow down to your idols. We will not give in to your gods. And you know the story of that one as well. They were thrown into the fiery furnace, but the furnace did not consume them. Why? Because their God was with them. And what I'm telling you in these times of fiery tests and situations that we're facing, this pandemic that we're in right now, it will not consume you, child of God, because you're trusting in the living Lord. You're trusting in him. Now, I'm not saying that if you catch corona, you won't get sick. I'm not saying that. I'm not making a statement that if you catch corona, you won't pass away. But guess what? If you do pass away, you're going to be in a better place. You're going to be in a place where all of the troubles of life will be over. But my point is this. Do you have the fire of God in you? Not just the fire that you say I possess, but do you have enough firepower in you to share with someone else and to convince them that God is real? That's exactly what Elijah did. He convinced them without a shadow of a doubt that God was real. Did he do it alone? No, God backed him up. And what I'm telling you, God will back you up as well. God will walk with you. He will talk with you. God will fellowship with you so that the world will know that you have his fire on the inside of you. Now, you can be a light to this world, or you can cover that light and pretend I'm just going along to get along. But let that fire of God burn within you. Let it consume you to the point where you can't help but tell people, my God is real. This is Pastor William Coleman of the Crossroad Baptist Church. Before I close, I want to invite you to allow Jesus Christ to come into your life, to light that fire within you. Simply pray, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and cleanse me. Make me a new creature. Light a fire in me so that I can serve God. If you do that, my friend, you will be set free by the power of God, because Jesus is real. God bless you, and we'll see you again next week.